Hi, y'all. This episode of The Read is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace, of course, is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. So start building your website today at squarespace.com and enter offer code READ at checkout to get 10% off. That's READ at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. And now, let's start the show.
Drafted, I'm getting choosed by these hoes. You just leave. He said, you just leave. You just leave. They just leave when we die.
Oh, Lord.
Share a room with these hoes.
You really love that damn album, don't
that
you?
That album is an instant hood classic.
All right.
And I want you to deny it.
I'm
gonna sorry.
Leave it alone.
They gave you beats. Drake gave you light skin lyricism.
Oh, God.
And Future mumbles on beat. It's good. It is good.
If you can overlook the fact that Future is not actually saying any words, then
that's
yes.
not true. It's just hard to understand them.
Okay. So
Young Thug doesn't say words.
I don't listen to that either. Whatever that does, whatever he puts out,
slays.
I don't know it. So
it also slays.
Okay. Well,
Young Thug is kind of like an alien that came here and like on the space ride over, he listened to a lot of Gucci.
Yeah. I mean, when I've heard Young Thug on features and stuff, I've thought, you know, he sounds like he's trying to sound like Gucci or Lil Wayne or
Gucci Wayne.
Like,
1,000%.
So there's already a name for it.
I just made that up right now.
Well,
but I feel like
yes,
that's accurate.
In his floral print, medium sized button ups. That's the same one, right? The
with
one where's
all
with
of
leggings.
Yes.
And then Louboutin fucking knee
high. And K-Swiss shell toes with the pink stripes.
Fucking calf hair pumps and shit. I can't. Anyway.
I am, hey, I'm Drake's choreographer.
And I am Beyonce's pink leotard.
And this is The Read.
Woo, what an amazing week it's been.
Has it?
I mean, really, it was just yesterday.
Okay, I was going to say
and
that.
And Beyonce.
Like,
so
yesterday was pretty dandy.
Yeah, that was basically all I meant. But I'm sure we'll get to that, so.
So, all right, Black Excellence.
Mm-hmm.
So, truthfully, I had, like, one particular Black Excellence. I feel like about a young girl who did something phenomenal, and then I lost the article.
Okay.
But still, Black and excellent.
Mm-hmm.
In many lovely ways, Zendaya.
Yes, I assume. Don't listen.
Look,
don't,
I don't
quote me.
You know,
it may be Zendaya. It's fine.
I feel like I've said Zendaya and then someone told me it was Zendaya, but it could be the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
And I also apologize, young lady, because I feel like at this point I should know your name, although I'm not sure if she's a musician.
Yeah,
first.
She's kind of like a Disney actress musician.
Yeah, but she like also makes songs and I know that she can like dance.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah,
she
yeah.
also acts, so I don't know.
That's
like
why they cast her as Aaliyah in that movie that Wendy Williams ended up ruining.
And she said,
and she knew.
No thanks.
Once Twitter dragged her ass back and forth, she was like, I actually wasn't ready.
On and second and third thought,
how about I just don't?
I'm good.
And she's been so Black ever since, if you notice. But anyway.
So she was on Blackish last week. Everybody knows that's my
that
show.
That was really cute.
So one thing that I really like about her is that she, I feel like, is a really great role model and that she is very proud of who she is and her image. And she's always saying really, powerful things about mm-hmm. young ladies.
She is. She's like a good role model.
Absolutely. And she's obviously flawless.
And like proud of her Blackness, like the anti-Raven.
Like just, I mean, you said just, it. So she recently had an incident. I guess she had a photo shoot with this magazine called Modelist or Modelist, something like that.
Okay.
And she looks lovely in the photo, but they photoshopped the fuck out of the one, I guess, that they printed.
Of course they did.
And made, like, they took away all of her curves. And at first I was kind of like, which ones are, because I thought that maybe the one that she posted to the right where it has a little bit of, you know, curvage and things like that. I was like, is that the one that they photoshopped? Because I would think that that's what you would have
like heard. They added some.
No.
No.
They snatched her whole soul,
damn,
hips, everything out and like turned up the saturation on the shit. It just looks weird.
I'm sure.
And I guess that was their idea or figure of beauty. And so she hopped on Instagram and was like, just so you girls know, I don't know who that is. Like, just to inform you, obviously in a very sweet,
right,
like, you know, school president manner, she was like, look, this is the reason that ladies are feel like they, right, have to go out here and eat cotton and drink nothing but ice water and starve themselves and all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm going to post the actual photo, and I think that it looks great. Everyone agreed because she does look fucking phenomenal. So I just wanted to say to her, I feel like... Shout out to you for being,
yes,
a beautiful young lady who seems to have her head on straight. Please don't be one of these celebrities that lets me down.
Right.
In like a few months.
Because people, I feel like, love, I keep to remind us.
Doing that.
Yes. Every time we say, oh, well, you know who never really got on our nerves? Raven Simone. Oh, you know who ain't that bad? Miley Cyrus. And then like 6 months later,
it's
they
like,
just,
fuck your feelings.
Right.
You
like, okay, bitch.
Me.
Oh, you thought, mm-mm, I was cool? Oh, you thought I had some sense?
No.
Oh, all right. I'm about to show you where you're wrong at. So... You know, I feel like I can't even hardly say nothing good about the young kids no more, but congrats to Zendaya. I like her.
Yeah. So this week in, LaQuita, you are a regular here! I just feel like I'm always going to do a Martin.
Okay, thing. A Martin reference.
Until, you know, I feel like I can catch you off guard with something else.
No, well, I mean, you could try your little screaming, little run again, but...
No, well...
Speaking of Martin, I caught a marathon of that the other day, and I sat there and I watched every episode for like 3.5 hours. It's like, what is wrong with my life?
Martin marathons and Golden Girls.
Golden Girls, yes!
Mean literally nothing to me because I own every disc of every season of both of those series. So I have marathons when I'm good and goddamn ready. And I don't need any commercials. I feel sorry for you girls.
Well, like, the You Got to Go to Work on Myra's Feet episode came on, and I thought about you.
Classic.
Because you can quote like that whole episode.
I can start right now.
It's not necessary.
Okay, like,
I'm just saying.
Act one.
Okay.
Like, if you want to get from the beginning.
All right.
Speaking of Black excellence, let's just talk about, you know, a little known celeb by the name of Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, yeah. No, never heard of her.
So Oprah's Black ass recently announced that she purchased like 10% of stake in Weight Watchers International.
Really?
Did you not know about this?
No, I didn't. She bought 10% of Weight
Watchers?
So what
is it today? Wednesday?
Yeah.
On Monday, I think, she announced that she purchased 10%.
Mm-hmm.
As of today, she has, I'm reading this from Forbes.com, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
She has single-handedly generated $700 million in stock market value.
Excuse me?
Since Monday.
$700 million?
Since Monday.
Are you sure that's not 70?
$700 million
in stock market value in 2 days.
Dollars.
You cannot be serious. How the fuck? Wow.
Because she said, I'm Oprah, yeah, and this is something that I'm interested in.
I don't
and
even.
And her whole legion of stans said, some for me, please.
Just, I mean, but sign me what up. Does that even mean? Like, did everybody go out and buy Weight Watchers memberships? Did everybody go buy stock in Weight Watchers? Like,
I have no fucking
whatever
clue.
It is.
But okay.
All right, Oprah, that is just massive. I can't even picture that amount of money.
This is shares of Weight Watchers are up about 170% since,
wow,
they opened for trading on the New York Stock Exchange on Monday.
Wow.
Their stock doubled in value on Monday and rose by another 30% or so yesterday.
Yes.
Oprah's 10% stake is now worth some $110 million, and her profit in those 2 days is around the same.
Bitch, what?
Oprah V. Winfrey.
This bitch went out and flipped her money and got it back in like 48 hours and then some. Are you fucking joking? Are you She made $110 million over the past couple of days. Is that what you're saying to me? Because that's insane.
Two smooth days, bitch.
You know what? I was just thinking about Oprah earlier and how I understand she had to use Tyler Perry and his coon ideas for television in order to get her network off the ground. And now I feel like she's moving into like a more serious direction and doing stuff that she really wants to do, like Belief. Have you heard about this show?
No.
She has a new show on her network with like people of different like faiths and stuff, talking about what it means to believe and like these different stories and all this. And I feel like now that she has the network, like doing well or doing better, now she feels like she can go out and do other stuff. Because at first I was just like, why would you create a network for Tyler Perry's bullshit? But I see the vision.
Because they're friends. They like drink her chai tea from Starbucks at that.
But she needed that mess, that haves and have nots and like the whole Madea drama and all that. She needed that audience.
Yeah, definitely helped get the eyes to the network. But that's what, like, it's similar to what I've said about, like, Tidal and other businesses and things like these ventures that people start. Like, let me watch from afar and see what's happening. But at the same time, we should give them a fair shot. Because you never know. Like, things won't always be like, oh, hey, here's my new network or radio station or app or whatever, and it's just going to be the shit immediately.
Right, no, I don't
sometimes,
expect that
you know,
at
you
all.
Need a year or so to see where things will end up, and sometimes it works for some folks, and it may not work for other folks or what have you, but, I mean, we're talking about Oprah.
All right, and like, so see, me in the middle of poverty, of course, I don't understand her long-term vision. Oprah knew she would have to sacrifice in order to recoup and come back stronger. Like, she knew, and now look at her. Bitch made $110 in 2 days. Like, I will be fortunate beyond all belief if I make $110 million in my whole fucking lifetime. Like, Oprah is on a whole nother level of money and success that the rest of us just can't even. Like, we're peons.
And the beautiful and fascinating thing about it is that it's literally just like, that's all based off of influence.
Right. It's all off of her name. Like,
it's,
she's making all this money off her name.
She was like, this is what I do now. And the girls were like, well, I would also like to do that.
Yes, me too, please.
That's it. Like, those favorite things and shit that she used to do on the show all of the time, mm-hmm. was just like, those would be like the highest rated shows of the season,
yeah.
and shit like that. And everybody would die because they made it on that show, and she would be giving shit away to people who deserved it. And all of those companies would always see some tremendous spike,
yeah,
in sales.
Yeah, they would all
afterwards.
Get like 500% sales growth or something.
I just love Tate's cookies or whatever. Like, she would just be like, this flavor of Bluebell is the shit. And it was just like, you could never find it afterwards.
Right.
That is so inspiring. Bad
I remember
bitch.
Seeing, like, I don't remember if it was one of those behind the scenes shows that they did on OWN after the Oprah show ended, because I think it was. But they talked about how one of the sponsors they ran into was Apple when they tried to get the iPads that year, because Apple was like, we don't need to give Oprah no iPads, honestly. Like, we don't need to get the word out. Sales are just fine. Like,
right.
But eventually, you know, I mean, I'm certain based off the strength of the name Oprah Winfrey, they were like, well, you know what? What is it to a boss, really? Like, give out the iPads if you so choose. And then, like, niggas would just, like, flip out their skin at them. Oprah, don't let me do this, because I'll sit here and stand for her all day.
Right.
We just...
What can you do?
Bad bitch. I love her.
I don't know if I want to keep in the vein of Black excellence or save.
I mean, I just love that these are like positive stories. Yes, something else good happened.
Let's leave that for the end.
Okay.
So Sierra's not pregnant.
That's not bad news.
It's fantastic news.
I mean, why
I'm not
would
even
she be?
Sure why that came up.
Aren't they like on a no sex zone? They doing some
call it whatever you want to call it,
abstinent bullshit. Like, I mean, I understand I haven't, whatever, I've done this already.
The point is, it's like women just can't have a big meal at Chipotle without someone being like, oh, that hoe is pregnant.
Wait, so she ate a little bit and somebody thought she was
pregnant? I
don't
know. I guess she's had like, it looked like she may have had a little bit of a tummy in one picture.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Know why. But, I mean, the photo that I saw, she didn't at all look pregnant. So I don't... It was one of those things, I guess, where people are like, we're bored. Let's make something... I don't know.
Yeah.
But she, I guess... It must have become such a large story that she felt like she needed to come forward and say something about it. And so she said... So funny, I had had a cheeseburger a little too close to showtime. And what's funny is that I've learned after pregnancy, your body changes differently. And I can have a salad and it'll be like, aw, junk. The point is, I'm not reading
okay.
this whole thing.
I was about to say, is this an Instagram statement? Because I don't
know. No, she said this on Russ Parr. But, it's literally what I said. And Beyonce goes through this maybe every other month. Mm-hmm. If it's not her, it's some other celebrity where it's just like, you don't have a flat stomach today. You must be pregnant. I don't know why that.
Because people are bored. Like, I think that's exactly it. You see these pictures of these celebrities, you ain't got shit else to do, so you might as well start a rumor. Don't really matter if it's true or not. So it gets blown out of proportion. But girl, all right. Nobody really cares. I didn't think you were pregnant because I knew y'all wasn't fucking.
I said if she was pregnant, then Future was right when he said, I know I'm going to get my bitch back because I know that.
Listen to me.
Miss Wilson.
If Sierra was pregnant by Future, the Seahawks could just say goodbye to the rest of their season. It's over. Like, they're not winning another game. It's like a curse. Like, why? That would be because she's supposed to be dating Russell, and then she pops up pregnant by her baby daddy slash ex.
Listen, I don't believe it. I'm not interested. I don't believe it at all. So it's real cute.
So the whole relationship.
Have a good time.
So you don't even think they're pretending to date?
They are pretending to date. I also believe that neither one of them, she probably wouldn't mind having a little, you know, fun time underneath the sheets with him.
Okay, fun time.
On the other hand, you know, I feel like he is focused on sports.
Yes, I mean, he's a quarterback of a football team.
So. And that's fine.
Okay.
You know, and so she wants to have someone on the red carpet that's handsome and, like, is nice to her. And you know, needs to have a girlfriend. So, okay,
all right.
So that's just my personal theory. It's nothing against either one of them. But I just don't believe it, and I'm not interested either way.
All right. Well, congrats on not being pregnant, I guess.
Felt like so he put his penis in you? Like, that's what you're trying to say? No, that's a lie.
Anyway, Sierra.
What else we got here? Do you want to talk about Drake's Cha-Cha?
You know what? We might as well.
So, everyone loves Hotline Bling, apparently. Mm-hmm. It's been, like, number one for weeks and weeks. Everybody except Drum and probably Meek Mill.
Well, yeah.
So the video came out this week. It was colorful. Mm-hmm. It reminded me a lot of, like the fruit-flavored Mentos and Calle Ocho. Like pastel colored lights.
Okay.
And like Cuban bread.
But what is a Calle Ocho? That I didn't get.
Calle Ocho.
Oh, Calle Ocho show.
Yeah.
Right.
Not show, just Calle Ocho. Okay. Eighth Street in Miami.
Okay. No wonder I didn't get it. I thought it was a video game.
No, it's very just a block.
It was real like, I mean, I don't know. I think that was kind of what I expected of Drake. What I didn't expect was the little corny ass dancing, like, throughout.
That's the only good part about
it. It's adorable. I love it. I don't even understand how people don't like it. I think it's so cute.
But I feel like most people liked it. To the point where I almost was like, okay, girl, it's not that deep. Like, it wasn't. I thought that it was cute. And the great part about it is that he's just showing his personality again. Like, he knows he's slaying the rap scene. He knows that these niggas can't touch him. He's got a full beat. And a little bit of muscle now, so he's like fully prepared to take your bitch and hers too.
He's all filled out.
And so it's just nice to, like, he's just dancing and having fun and not taking himself seriously. And I feel like that's what we love about Drake, is that he's not out here trying to necessarily prove that he's like that nigga that will run up and shove like a gun in your mouth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and he's not scared of being corny and making fun of himself.
Right. He's just having a good time because he's going to make money and take your hoe anyway. So it's like.
And of course, niggas on the internet ate it up. Like, people have been and all the different little parodies and stuff. Did you see the Cosby Show one?
I knew from the first time that I watched the video that this was going to be a million memes. I knew that, you know, Dominican community or, you know, other Latin people were going to get a hand. And he knows that shit too. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Knew
he
Washington Heights was going to eat
1,000%.
Absolutely.
And, like, I feel like, especially because of, like, he knows. Mm-hmm. You can tell when you think about, like, the Meek Mill thing.
Yeah.
You can tell he's thinks about these things. Like, a lot of his moves are calculated. He knows that he's meme heavy, and he understands, like, and he thinks that that shit is funny. Again, he's having a good time, and he's prepared for you bitches to turn him into a GIF.
Yeah.
I say GIF, fight me. So
nobody is gonna argue with you about that.
I don't give a fuck, because people love it. It's GIF. Not in this house.
Not in this mouth.
So
Aubrey, he's so adorable. He's just I love him.
So Drum is the artist who recorded the record Cha-Cha, which Hotline Bling samples. And I actually didn't even catch it until he said something about this.
Yeah.
And once he did, I was like, oh, shit, bitch, that is Cha-Cha. Like, yes, I had no idea. Too. So
somebody pointed out, and I was like, you damn right. Like, I have been trying to put my finger on it. Like, where have I heard this before?
So, you know, he came forward and said something on Twitter about, you know, how he did kind of feel like his record got jacked, but at the same time, he was cool with it, and he performed in Toronto and so on and so forth. So I love the Cha-Cha song.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel like he is still doing quite well on his own. Erykah Badu tweeted him back and was like, we loved Cha-Cha first, you know, fist in the air and love your soul and put a little cocoa butter on it or whatever she was talking about.
She's like, so great.
Even though she remixed Hotline Bling and not Cha-Cha.
But Hotline Bling, like, her remix of Hotline Bling was everything too.
But
like,
she remixed Hotline Bling and not Cha-Cha.
Well,
so
I mean,
girl,
she knew. She knew.
Right.
I'll be watching the Soul Train Awards because of her. You know she's hosting, right?
Yeah, and she's hilarious.
She
so
is.
That should be interesting.
I'm hype. But anyway, Drake.
But yeah, you know, Drake came out and said something about it that I found very interesting because personally I thought it didn't make no damn sense.
Okay.
He said, you know, like in Jamaica, you'll have a rhythm and it's like, that's a beat in case.
I know what a rhythm is.
Okay. But you are. You
know. Well, I mean, context clues. Rhythm.
Nice.
It just goes there.
And it's like everyone has to do a song on that. Imagine that in rap or imagine that in R&B. Imagine if we got one beat and every single person, all these guys had to do a song on that one beat. So isn't that a remix? See, the thing about... The thing about, like, dance hall, it's a dance hall culture, reggae culture, all of that is completely different than hip hop. Like, you have people who just make those beats in Jamaica and put it out, and everybody just grabs it and they do what they want with it. You don't have an artist who brings their own beat or a producer or somebody that has their own thing, and then everybody just jumps on it. I mean, people do that, but that's not what he's saying about this beat. So comparing it to, like, dance hall.
I mean, did he not have permission to do this? Do you even have to have permission?
I mean, I feel like he would be a fool to be Drake and
right,
not,
and not
like,
have whatever
cover
clearance.
The clearance
it probably wasn't
to it.
Drum's decision. Is Drum still independent? Because it may have been up to his label, so it may
I'm not
have
sure.
even been up to him.
But I doubt that he was just like, I'm just going to take this very unique beat and just do this whole thing with it.
Right, because people, like, noticed immediately. Like,
right.
It wasn't, and I don't think Drake has even tried to deny it. So why people were like, oh, it's
he did the Cha-Cha in the goddamn video. Like,
it's like,
you know.
But I heard he offered to put Drum on it or on a remix and Drum declined. So
yeah, so it sounds more like,
yeah,
you know, homeboy was not feeling it, period.
Right.
But it has nothing to do with it.
Because, I mean, if Hotline Bling goes number one and it's like, sounds awfully similar to yours, then. I mean, but it is what it
is. I can still celebrate both songs independently.
I mean, Bruno Mars was number one for like 10 months with fucking Uptown Funk. And if Trinidad James could deal...
That ain't even her damn song.
Right, but I'm saying if Trinidad James can deal with the fact that his shit was ripped off and was number one for like 68 weeks, then Drum will be all right.
I mean, if the check is coming in, that's enough for me to shut my ass up.
Right.
To have my money and have it on time.
My royalties, though. Like, is my money... Is it PayPal? Is it live check? Let me know what day.
Royalties, no brown.
Let me know when I can expect.
Bitch, better have my ducats.
Did you see that album cover? The royalty album cover?
I was just saying to myself yesterday that I don't... This thing always gets me because I want... Like, and I've never been like a Chris Brown stan. Mm-hmm. I've been a fan of lots of his work, and I obviously feel like he's incredibly talented. But I've never been like a stan. I've never found him like sexually attractive. Mm-mm. I did click on those nudes, but you know, that's just curiosity. Just, I have to see him, you know. But at the same time, like, I've never really been attached to Chris Brown like that. But something about, I just want him to do well.
Yeah.
And he's been kind of flying underneath the radar now, taking care of the baby. I love seeing the pictures with them two together.
Yeah.
I love the album cover. So.
Yeah, it was adorable. She's so, like, she's just asleep and laying on his chest, and he looks like he's not high. And
it's just heartwarming.
It's adorable. Like, it's just really precious. So I'm hoping that this is a good album from Chris, and that this is like, but see, we do this every 5 weeks.
Every time. Like, I'm not getting comfortable
God
with this
damn
shit.
It.
I'm just going to say.
Like, maybe now is the time for Chris Brown.
Hopefully
look,
you get it together.
Under the radar and not out here being a cokehead.
Like,
on Instagram.
In fact, we probably ruined the trajectory of this shit by bringing it up, because I feel like us saying it, it's like it's us.
We shouldn't bring
part
it
of me feels like we keep saying it, and then something happens, and okay. It's just like there it is. Like I feel like now we're not gonna make it to Christmas
okay.
before he fucks up,
no,
and I feel
no,
like
we have
I have to like.
Faith. Or maybe we should just not bring up Chris Brown no more.
Yes, because I feel like every time we do it, he's like, I'm going to go blow something up. Like,
getting a little itching to do something fucked up.
Anyway, hopefully royalty's at the point where she can at least verbally express mm-hmm. to him that she don't like these niggas
no.
he hangs out with.
No. Like, no friend. No.
Mm-mm. Nah, mm-mm, she's mm-mm. got the side eye down packed. She's definitely, you know,
yes.
able to throw shade in her toddlerness.
I mean, she had to develop that skill early. Look who her parents are.
But I think that at the same time, I'm hoping that now she can vocally say,
yes.
I would like for these niggas to no longer be around here.
And I think she's probably almost there.
She probably like taps him on his knee and is like, what's going on? Like, let's like let's chat
Daddy,
about it.
Daddy, me, no.
Can't do it.
Bed, now. Bye.
Out. Like those types of words. She has to have them down packed.
She can give directions, definitely. Like, you niggas, from my living room to
And I mean, toddlers
outside.
Are the shadiest people on
they
earth.
They are. They're fucking rude. They don't give a damn how you feel about nothing.
They don't know what feelings are.
No, 3 and 4 year olds, literally the worst people. Like, they have no regard for your emotions. They're not supposed to. They have no idea that they're hurting your feelings. They're
buying up the whole app store. Like, it's just.
Just, I mean, when you put her fingerprint on it, then. Because I know North's fingerprint is on that iPad.
So let's talk about Lamar Odom. In that I just
oh,
want
see.
To
I
say
see what you
one
did here.
Simple thing. I just want to say that it's horrible, this story about Lamar. And from what I have actually paid attention to, it seems like he's getting better slowly but surely.
I think loads. They transferred him to a different hospital now.
Yeah, he got discharged. And so, yeah, that was definitely terrifying and things of that nature. I hope that he is getting better and will hopefully be in tip-top shape as soon as possible, God willing. However, I just want to say that it is hard for me personally to be a certain kind of sympathetic in these situations because the media, like whenever you're trying, if you are trying to get an update on how he's doing or what happened, it's damn near impossible without all of these websites, even the CNN, MSNBC, ABC News, like everybody is talking about the Kardashians and their reaction to it.
Yeah.
Not just like, this is a horrible thing that happened to this brother. And, you know, he's doing well and this is what the doctors say, good day. It's like, no, you know, Khloe's at his bedside and, you know, she cried 5 tears. We counted them. They're in this vial. Kris Jenner won't leave. You know, here's what Kim and Kylie and the rest of the K's posted on Instagram. Here's, you know, a selfie with his sickly body. Like, it's like, my God. Now they're talking about how they're talking about they're canceling their divorce plans, all this shit. Like, my nigga, like, if this man was in the hospital, like, like on his deathbed, to the point where his kids are supposed to become his family, is trying to come out here and see him and right. things like that. Like, don't nobody give a fuck about these hoes right now. Like, get them out my face. Shut up. Like, can we just be focused on this man and his health and him getting better without it being an episode of this goddamn dumb ass dead horse of a fucking program? We get it. These bitches are pretty and they have all of these businesses and they ain't going nowhere until they're good and ready. Fine. But it's like, fuck. Yeah. Shit.
But the only reason white people give a fuck about Lamar Odom is because of the Kardashians.
Right.
Like, they don't even actually give a damn about his life. Before the Kardashians, like, I don't even think most white people knew who he was. Or if they did, he was just like, oh, some basketball nigga. Like, they don't give a fuck about him at all. They only give a fuck about who can generate clicks to their website.
I don't care.
Who can sell copies of magazines.
It's like, about fucking human decency.
It should be.
That's what it should be about. Like, and if this isn't like a divorce, this nigga didn't stub his toe. He wasn't like, you know, he didn't have an allergic reaction to something at Taco Bell. Like, right.
Trivial celebrity bullshit.
Right.
Like, somebody's life is in the fucking balance and all y'all care about is clicks.
Fuck out of here. So, you know, it just further proves to me that I'm just like slowly but surely losing interest in certain aspects of pop culture. Yeah. And not even because it's not interesting, because we can come out here and riff on these bitches all day long. I don't really care. Mm-hmm. But the way that a lot of other people handle the stories and how they post them and how they react to them and that kind of thing is just so disgusting to me mm-hmm. sometimes. I know that maybe I shouldn't speak too much because I definitely, but I'm not gonna be like, oh, this nigga is like damn near dead. Here's how, you know, here's Khloe Kardashian and the rest of his ex-sister-in-law's coming up. They're all wearing Balmain. Please look at the shoes. Get a shot of those shoes.
They're Givenchy.
Okay, so we hear that Lamar Odom is almost dead. Where did you get these earrings? Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Get out of my face. Come on.
Look at Kylie's makeup on the way to see Lamar in the hospital. Like, it's all about them. It's just garbage. I hate the fact
you should at the very least be saying, like, hey, like, this is a serious time mm-hmm. for us. Please respect our privacy. But it's never that. It's no, never
these,
that.
These media outlets don't care. And as terrible as we are, at least we know where the line is. Like, we don't talk about nobody's fucking life. Like, we definitely don't try to exploit nobody's life for money. Like, that's bullshit.
Except for George Zimmerman. And let me just use let me just use this moment to just dash this in here since he came to mind. I just want y'all to know, please don't tell me anything about that man mm-mm. until if and when the story is he is dead. Like, that is the one you can share with me. Mm-hmm. I feel no kind of way about that.
No. Nope.
That is I'm requesting of you all, if you hear a story about that man and it doesn't involve him being dead, please just keep it away from me.
And if he is murdered, I will consider the person who did it to be an American hero.
A global hero.
And we need, like, a bronze statue of their ass erected in their hometown immediately.
I'll
like,
send you an edible arrangement if nobody else will.
Put
very,
this nigga on the
least.
Nickel something, because please, what? An act of bravery.
Do you want to... We're at third... Okay. I want to talk about the Bill Cosby cover.
Oh, the Ebony cover, yes. Ooh-wee, man, this has been like, the internet's been going nuts.
The girls are pissed.
Ebony is shaking the table.
Everyone has feelings. Like, they're mostly mixed feelings, though.
And I think they're supposed to be. Like, the cover itself, I think it's supposed to demonstrate how our feelings are mixed, because we do love this family so much, but the image has been shattered. That's true.
The people who are pissed, though, are pissed.
Yes, they are.
Like, they are pissed. I've saw people saying that it was disrespectful to the other actors on the show and that Ebony is tainting their legacy. I've seen people say
that. Oh, girl, that is not it.
I've seen people say that it perpetuates black stereotypes and the idea of the black household.
Stereotypes.
Yeah, like that the black home is always broken or something like that.
Oh, my God. It's y'all like, niggas is reaching.
It's not real. It isn't. And I get it. Right. Like, I would be a fool to sit up here and act like The Cosby Show didn't do amazing things right. for our community and others.
Right.
But at the very same time, it's make-believe. And you have mm-hmm. to learn how to separate the two. And that's what it says on the Cosby versus Cliff. It's right there. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved it.
The entire article has been up online. People have just been too angry to actually read it or to actually think about, you know, why the cover itself is generating this kind of anger inside of them. But yeah, what did you say? What were you saying? How did you feel about it?
The first time I saw it, I laughed. Now that...
You would.
You know, it wasn't a laugh because it's like, ha ha funny. It was a laugh because I was caught off guard. Like, you know, like when I first saw it, I was like, bitch, they went there.
Me like, too. I was like, damn.
I was taken aback.
Ebony like, got real.
I did not know how to react to it.
Because Bill Cosby's been on the cover of that magazine like 6 times. So I was surprised that they actually just came out and was like, nah, let's talk about it. That was
But
bold.
It's like, it's a very intense photo. I think the person, whoever's idea it was, however they executed it, shouts to you. I think that it's not necessarily even taking a side. It's just a statement. Like, mm-hmm. whether you like it or not, however you feel, you're never going to be able to look at The Cosby Show again.
Right.
The same again. Like, you're just not going to. So, like, the whole, everything about it, everything around it, the legacy has been broken. And that ain't got nothing to do with nobody but Bill Cosby. Like,
right.
he's, well, they've snatched the shit off of so many networks. Those are syndication checks and things like that that people may not be able to see anymore
mm-hmm.
because of this man's actions. Like, the whole view on that show is broken. And
yeah.
so, and they put the source of the crack was right over his
yes,
face.
Yes, like, it was not ambiguous at all. It was just right there, the whole meaning. Right there in the image. I think it's important to, like, if you're super upset about this cover, remember that, like, it's called The Cosby Show, but the family you loved are the Huxtables. That is not Bill Cosby and his family. He is not married to Felicia Rashad. Those are not his kids. Raven is not his step-grandchild or whatever
Look
the fuck.
At perfect example. Raven was on
Raven.
Her own damn show talking about she couldn't get a job because she was black. Now, I don't know if you got into that, so Raven. But
yes,
there was do you remember that episode?
That episode where the woman, Chelsea, went in with a hidden camera
right.
for the interview, and she was like, she don't hire black people. Yeah, no,
it's not real, girl.
It's not. So Bill Cosby, who we have all loved as Dr. Cliff Huxtable, he is not Cliff Huxtable. And y'all have really got to separate that man from that character, because that's why you so angry. You think Ebony is attacking Cliff Huxtable, and they not. They saying we need to look at the fucked up shit Bill Cosby did, and the fact that we are so emotionally tied to that character is exactly why this conversation is so hard to
exactly.
have.
Exactly. And I think that they knew that ahead of time. They were like, this is
I mean, it's some smart hoes working at Ebony, so they knew what they
Absolutely.
Was doing.
Absolutely. They were like, at the very least, we're going to get this conversation going.
Yes.
And
shock
they
the world.
Absolutely did.
Amen.
I loved it.
I can't wait to pick it up. I cannot wait to get it.
They have it at the newsstand outside. I was about to buy it, but I was
oh, really? Just
I'm
downstairs?
Too late today. Like,
yeah, because you were pumping like 30 minutes.
That's...
Just a whole... Just,
I knew that you were not going to let me leave it there.
No,
I apologize.
And do you know why? Because I texted Chris when I was on the train and it all of a sudden went from express to local, and I said, my 3 train just went local. I'm going to be late to the studio. I'm so sorry. And Chris was like, don't worry about it. I roll up in here at 5:20, like all out of breath and like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And Chris was like, yeah, you're the first one here, so just want you to put your bag down and relax, because you're just
that's why he was trying to tell you to chill in the first place,
because he knew your ass was gonna be 30 minutes late.
So
anyway, Bill Cosby though.
No, we're done.
Oh, we're done. Okay,
I just want to talk about the emotional and spiritual experience that I had last night via my iPad. When
yes, God.
Tidal put on their concert at Barclays, what's it called? Tidal 1020, I guess, something like Tidal X.
Tidal the Rollout, something. It was like every artist on Tidal.
everyone was
a
there.
A lot of huge names. And then some smaller ones too, of course, to introduce you to new artists.
The only person I think that performed that I was introduced to, I think, is a guy, I think his name is pronounced Boss. B-A-S. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if I've ever heard of him before. I may have and just don't remember. But like Flatbush Zombies, Indochine,
yeah.
French Montana, all the M.M. Maybach, that whole family of Maybach people were there. Meek showed that as Meek. Long as he has dreams and nightmares, bitch, you can't like.
And as long as Drake is on Apple Music and that title.
Always got dreams and nightmares. That song goes off. I'm telling you, as long as Meek Mill shuts his ass and just goes into next year and gives you a street anthem even close to that, mm-hmm. he'll be good.
That's
he
true.
Just has to just mind his
we'll
business.
We'll see if he does it. So, good luck.
Damian Marley, Vic Mensa, Alessia Cara, Lil Wayne came out. That had to be interesting for, you know, Birdman and his feelings.
Yeah, had to.
Jay-Z performed with Fab. Fab is also a New York staple. They love her out here.
Well, I mean, and you know Fab didn't have shit else to do, so...
I love Fab too, though. Like,
I mean,
Fab,
I don't. Low-key,
it wasn't even until like I moved. I knew like in high school because I had a lot of friends from New York. I knew that like, I had Fab records I liked. But when I moved here, I don't know what it was that just made me kind of get into Fab. And I was like, oh, I get it. Like, yeah, he's a little underrated.
I mean, I don't. Well, I would not say all that. I don't like mind Fab songs. They're not my favorite, but for the most part, I'm not just like, ooh, I love
what?
It.
The one with Lil Mo.
You know what? And I'm mad that that's the first one that came to mind. Now that you done said it, I can't get it out of my damn head. I just remember when Kendrick Lamar put out that Control verse and named names, and Fab was not one of the names, yet he jumped up and was like, I'm going in the studio right now for a response. It's on, nigga, New York, nigga, stand up. And where is it? Where is the verse? Where have you, did it ever come out? Is
oh, he it, never did that?
Shit, I'm waiting on it. I don't know if I missed it or if he never put it out, one or the other. But anyway, the whole point of the title event was Beyonce, of course. Like,
I mean,
course.
Everyone knew that. We just didn't know in which way she was going to leave us bald.
It was like, how is she going to scalp us? It certainly won't be at the beginning. It will be towards the end, but in what manner will Beyonce come and just remove us?
So Nicki Minaj comes out. She performed Moment for Life, which still holds up quite well.
It's all right.
You're such a bitch.
You know I don't like Moment for Life.
I mean, the lyrical part of it, like the rap. You don't like the verses?
You know what? It's mostly the chorus. It is. It's probably 80% the chorus.
Okay.
I'm just not into that whole sound.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about Nicki Minaj singing, but...
I mean, it is what it is.
I don't know. It was something about hearing her talking about, you know, coming from Queens and mm-hmm. Stillhood. And it's like, oh, wow. Like, that song is when she started. Like, she's like this
right.
huge bitch. Like, it's just,
I
it was
her.
Nice.
And she looked amazing. She looked so good.
She always looks fucking, well, she usually looks, these days especially, flawless.
There we go.
But then, you know,
oh my God,
the smoke and everything turns pink and it's just lovely. And she starts doing Feeling Myself. So I was like, I don't know if Beyonce's going to come out when she's doing Feeling Myself. I don't feel like, you know, I don't know really what to expect, like what's about to happen. I didn't even see her. Mm-hmm. I heard yes. the crowd react.
Yes, me too.
It was like, wait, everyone is real hype right now. She has to be somewhere around.
Right.
And then they
because
go
because you could just hear it out of nowhere. The crowd was like.
Right. They were like, oh, she is emerging.
Yes.
And so then they do this like pan across this sea of bitches and these pink outfits. And there she stands. Mm. Back turned.
Yes.
Ponytail on, like,
perched
Eiffel Tower.
Bitch. Just at attention.
Just giving you an old Fountain of Youth ass.
Yes.
A high prom pony.
Just old blonde waterfall of Creole greatness, nigga.
I thought that at any moment she was going to flip around and be like, pterodactyl! And transform into the trillest pink ranger. Like, she
did look like a Power Ranger.
So good.
She did.
And then,
oh, that bitch.
So they perform together. Of course, we're catching our lives. Like, what are you even able to do? Like, she's literally stomping crap.
Because they're performing together. It's not like Beyonce's just standing there singing her part. Like, they are, like, moving around on stage. It was.
They were, first of all, I'm so
it.
here for the two of them.
Me too.
I would love a joint album. I don't give a fuck how anybody feels about that. Like, I would love for them to do, because, you know, I was saying to myself,
not an album, maybe
a mixtape. Yeah, but Beyonce,
or just a couple songs. I don't need
an EP,
a whole album.
Like something. At least do another fucking song together. I don't give a damn.
Right,
like,
or another song.
They just have a chemistry that I didn't expect to like. Really work so well.
Well, they play off of each other's like ratchetness because they both like girls from, well, Beyonce not really from the hood, but you know, she's from Houston. And then Nicki Minaj, of course, is from Queens. But they both are like these very successful, professional black women, and they have like a pop lane and a pop voice. But then they get together and it's like that just regular black girls just being.
And
dope.
I kind of feel like Nicki, especially rapping the way that she has gone back to rapping. That Beyonce is like, oh, I have someone that I can be like real hood with.
Yes.
You know?
A female rapper that I could just be just grimy with. Just right. Whatever I want and to. Just and be she gets it.
Exactly.
And she's down and she done took off all that bullshit and crazy blue eyeshadow. So me and Nicki can make it work.
They broke into a Travis Scott sampled lose my breath-esque dance battle.
What? It was Travis Scott over...
over the song.
Yeah. Oh, right. So they had just stopped, like, performing or, like, singing for a second.
And they broke into their little groups, Nicki and her dancers in black, Beyonce and her dancers in pink, and they said, let's just have it. Let's have at it, you know. And Nicki did this very swirly carousel-style motion. And then
just
all
the hips moving.
Then Beyonce hit a number of counts that were like, madam,
my nigga,
what are you doing right now? Like, to my life. And I just love, I loved
to watch it again.
When she was at Made in America and she was dancing to Future, that was like the best part to me. I just love her getting down to ghetto ass music because that is what I do or love to do or try or whatever. Like, that is what you're supposed to do when that bass hits you, bitch. And she hit a jig.
And she popped off so hard. It was like a dance battle and Nicki got done and it was like, okay, that was cute. And then Beyonce and her bitches came out and it was like, oh, she did not come to fuck around or joke with these hoes in any manner. Like, Beyonce came out and hit them eight counts hard than a motherfucker, nigga.
She must have had
look at her.
I don't know. She like conjured up the Sasha Fierce spirit.
She started whipping that ponytail, nigga.
And let me tell you that bitch was going.
She knew
nowhere.
She knew
nowhere. I understand that only a fan can try and hate on this weave, bitch, because it's not going anywhere. Like, I'm going to swing it around as many times as I want with whatever velocity I choose, bitch, and my ponytail will stay where it is.
Nigga, she was going off with that damn hair and had no worries in the world. Just completely carefree. And she just killed it.
I feel like, you know, I want to believe that Beyonce was just high off of life and, you know, having a good time. Another part of me feels like, you know, especially with all of them rap niggas backstage, that somebody handed her a cup of Douce and she was like, you know what? I own this shit. Like, sure.
Like, actually, this is my shit. Like, all them bitches on the internet, everybody here, like, they're here for me and we all know it. So if I want to get fucked up, that'll be what I do. Because she went off so hard. Out, Jay looked at her like...
She came out in that 101 Dalmatians Cruella de Trill-esque cape and was like, once again, I'm gonna swing this ponytail.
Yes.
It will go nowhere. Mm-hmm. She ripped that bitch off and her husband is just kind of like, bitch, are you all right? And she looked back at him like, nigga, you better do this rap. Like, she was looking at him like, don't worry about me, bitch. They're gonna keep subscribed to this motherfucking app. You are going to subscribe. Like, she put her whole entire, her spinal cord
in
that bitch.
She did.
Like, bone marrow and all.
I know her neck had to hurt, but Blue Ivy was, I know Blue Ivy was backstage like, finally, I have been coaching and teaching, and you all have got it. My God.
Blue Ivy had an iPad that was streaming it, and she was walking back to all of the other female acts, male as well, and she was like, would you like to know why you can and will never? Here it is.
Because it's right.
Here it is. This is the blueprint right here. This is all. You will never, ever, ever be able to even aspire to this, really. So right. I think that we all should take a moment to revel in the greatness that we're in presence of. That's all that I'm saying. You all have a good day and you're welcome. Like, I
feel and
like,
that's my mama out there looking like a fresh 21-year-old captain of the dance squad at HBCU. Like, that's my mother out there.
And I'm only mentioning that so that you know that for those of you who do have children, those of you who do have toddlers at home, let them know that I'm the second coming and they will never as well.
Right.
So, you know, it was very nice to see all of you. You know, thank you for your services.
Yes, like, I appreciate you for being in my presence, but if you didn't know, I'm half Beyonce and half Jay-Z. So if you could just, my aura, I feel like you people are draining me of my energy, and if y'all could just depart my presence now,
it was very lovely to have you.
Thank you for coming to my show. I
feel free
very
to
hard.
Pick up some pretzel chips at the craft service table on your way out.
Those were Beyonce's dancers with Nicki, right? Like, I feel like those girls definitely did not. We're not like Nicki's regular dancers. I figured Beyonce split her girls up.
I'm not sure how they did it. I think that Ashley Everett
put on Instagram.
She was like, when two worlds collide or some shit like that. I don't know if they all, I don't know. I'm not sure. All I know is that it gave me fucking life.
I wasn't ready. I wasn't even expecting it. Like,
she didn't even perform any of her own songs.
No, she didn't. She just showed up for her husband and for Nicki and was like, all right, well, that's good enough. Am I here or am I here? Shit.
I can't stand her. Like, I just can't. I can't.
Because it's like every time I think, all right, this time I'm not about to go crazy over Beyonce. I'm gonna just look at this. I'm sure it's
right.
Very
I get
nice.
Almost bored with it sometimes.
Right.
Where it's
and
just
then
like,
she just
you
fucks
know
me
she's
up.
Perfect. Like, we understand that she's phenomenal. Like, yes, great. She's gonna give you a great performance. Okay.
Okay,
yeah,
girl.
Cute.
Yeah, you are. About
but then
to
she's
say.
Like, no. Actually, I came here for that wig, bitch.
Yeah, I came here for your wig.
Not leaving until it is thrown at
yes,
the altar.
Yes, I'm not leaving until I fuck it up. You gonna exit this bitch looking askew to the motherfucker on tonight, nigga. And I loved it. I love her.
Well, that was this week.
Oh my God, did you see her telling that white girl to stop when she was taking the pictures? When she first got there and she was on the red carpet and the paparazzi was like, Queen, Queen, over here. And the, like one of the runners or whoever was like fixing her
oh,
dress.
Oh yeah, I did see
and
that.
Beyonce was like, if you could.
Like, I'm good. Move.
It's enough of your white fingers on my skin.
Thank you
But
so
anyway,
much.
So yes, all hail Queen B.
All right, that is a good chunk of
goddamn
shit. I mean, we really spent, I feel like, at least 15 to 20 yeah. on Beyonce.
Well,
so.
I mean, and she deserves.
And
so.
She's literally worth it.
All right. Well, let's take a break then.
All right. Hey, guys. Today's episode is being brought to you by the great people over at Audible. You know, sometimes we don't feel the need to read people. We just like to read books. Or you can have people read them to you. Audible.com provides over 180,000 audio programs from the leading audio publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. The app's free. It works on iPhones, iPads, Androids, Windows phones, all of those newfangled things. So go on over to Audible.com because they're offering a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. That's Audible. podcast.com/read. Go there, start a free trial, read a book. They've got Issa Rae's book. She's out here snatching wigs, being black and beautiful as well. So make sure that you get your life and let us know what you're reading. Let's get back to the show. So we're back like fat snacks.
Okay, and now it is time for our listener letters. You can send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com and we may just read it on the show. Our first question comes from Marlon, who says, I am a man in a 4-year relationship with a woman and we are both black.
Congrats.
The bedroom is starting to get boring.
Well,
I was introduced
years.
To anal sex by two different women before I started dating my current girlfriend. We talked about sex and all the things we liked, and head and anal were the things I specified that I wanted.
You should be specific, but I think I know what he's talking about.
My girl told me that she was going to do these things, but she wanted to date more first, and I thought, cool, that's a valid point. 4 years later and a 2.5 carat engagement ring, I've just started getting minimal head and we still haven't done anal. During the first year, this is what straight men write us about. During the first year, I purchased videos to learn the proper way to have anal sex. And she purchased.
Oh, that is so useful.
He was being thoughtful.
That is very, like, hats off to you.
And she purchased a set of anal trainers all on her own. So, of course, I thought she
so
was sincere.
So y'all are ready to go.
I thought she was sincere.
What the fuck is an anal trainer?
I guess it's like something to gently open up your booty hole.
Like a
like
butt
over
plug?
Time. Well, I think it's probably something like it gently stretches your asshole, like you wear it for extended
There's no
period.
Gentle stretching.
Well, listen, I don't know. I'm just going based off, like, anal trainer. I think it's training your asshole to, like, stretch open.
Yeah, we'll just use the words.
So, anyway, my God. We've never used these products, though, and have never watched the videos. So, when I proposed, I could have sworn that I was going to get one amazing night of sex with the anal that I've...
So, okay, go ahead.
Always dreamt of. Of course, I didn't. She stayed up all night texting her friends. How dare this bitch be excited?
He thought that he was about to get a good old
ride. He thought he was getting that booty hug.
A back and she was door like, show.
And I she have was bitches like, to text.
Excuse me.
I have to create my bridal party I have to group send message
Sandra
right now.
A Snapchat. You are fuck sex for what? I'm calling
my mama. I have to put this
mama.
Ring on the gram and the book, please. When I got time to fuck. Anyway, we're not even done with the question. For the last 5 months, I can count on two hands how many times we've had sex, and anal is still not in the picture. Now this. Also, I'm pretty blessed, which may be the problem, but I'm not going to get any smaller, so we need to figure this out. Well, listen, my question is,
come on, I was blessed.
Am I being a jerk for wanting these things, and should I let them go, or am I not being a jerk? And how can I get my fiance to step up like she says she would? I really do want to marry her, and I'm ready to have a family, but I know friends who fuck around outside their relationships because of what they are not getting sexually at home. I don't want to be that man.
He's gonna fuck a butt.
I don't want to be that man, and I have never cheated on a girlfriend before, but every woman I pass on the subway is starting to look like a steak, like in them Looney Tunes cartoons from back in the day.
See, sweethearts at home, I be trying to tell y'all, and I'm just saying, because you know what I'm saying, as man, and I have low straight friends, like, I think that I just think about the way that people think, God. And I observe, and, I mean, this is just kind of like,
Young Marlon.
This is almost like a 101 course on niggas, like... He's gonna do it. Like, you know what I mean? You're not gonna stop him. Now, Marlon, your problem is that she doesn't wanna. Like, I know she promised you she lied. Like, she lied to you. She was never interested, probably. Like, if it's been 4 years, right, and you have, like, you have tools and instruction manuals and, like, high-priced lube and all of this shit, yikes, and she still isn't interested and she hasn't done it yet, it's because she doesn't wanna.
She may be saving it for marriage. I know.
She's not.
I know some girls who are, or swear they are.
Like, if she was saving it for marriage, then she would have expected that. Like, that would make more sense as to why he proposed to her. Because he's like, like, did you propose to her because you wanted to fuck her in the butt? Or was it like,
because he was fucking her like, in the butt just
I proposed to her and I just knew I was about to get something like... That's not how that works.
So you didn't propose because you were excited about spending the rest of your life
with her?
It
sounds like he loves the fuck out of her, you know what I'm saying, and wants to be faithful.
But he really wants to get in that
butt. Really wants to get in that ass.
He wants in.
Literally.
He wants in.
I think that you should definitely express to her that this is something that you want to do and at least try and get her to try. My nigga, if you have been doing all of this like research prior to the activity and stuff, you know that your dick is larger than you life, whatever, then, you know, like he very clearly, at least, you know what I'm saying? He's out here like, look, I know that this may not be the greatest experience for you at first, but I'm willing to work with you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he seems like he's at least trying to, and she's not interested.
Because, I mean, like, he's not been like, oh, I'm going to accidentally put it in the wrong hole and no crazy shit like that. Like,
they'll
some of
do.
Them have tried, so I heard.
But
it seems like he actually like put forth effort and was like researching into the best ways to do this and all this, and she's just not really feeling it.
If she isn't, I think that he should say to her, like, listen, this is something that I really, really like, and it's something sexually that is, you know, important to me. And let's try it out. Like, it really is something I want to do. Like, you've already stated that. So at this point, she's bullshitting to me.
I'm going to assume she's nervous about it because for me, anal is a no-go. So if you mention anal to me, I'm going to let you know right now. You might as well find another relationship.
It might as well be.
No. There are plenty of lesbians.
I'm sure they
love to do that.
But that is jumping out the window.
It's none of my business. Like, I am not going to do that. So if you feel that way about anal, it's best that you go find another girl now, because I cannot promise you that one day I'm going to be willing to do that with you.
But, like, if you haven't had the conversation with her, like, look, I love you. I think you're amazing. This is just something sexually. And sex is important.
Yes, it is.
In a relationship, it is very important to be pleased and to be satisfied sexually. And so that is something that you really want to do. At the very least, I feel like as your partner, she should give it a try. If you know, if you've been faithful, if you're a good boyfriend and all of those things, try it out. Now, if she tried and she hates it, that's a completely different conversation. Mm-hmm. And I can't say to you, of course, I'm never going to say, oh, well, then go find somebody who's going to do it. Like, is anal sex worth like losing this girl or losing your engagement and stuff?
Like, is it,
that's a question that you would have to answer.
I'm gonna assume you love her more than anal sex, and I understand the desire. You might not. I just thought maybe, because you know you're proposing to her and not to anal sex, I thought maybe you cared more about your fiance than you do about fucking in the ass. And I just want you to know that, like, you can't, I would say, you like, encourage her or be like, let her know that this is something you really do want to do. But if it comes down to she doesn't like it or she doesn't want to do it, then you have to ask yourself if it's really
but
that important.
But she don't know until she tried. Like, I mean,
but I just, there's nothing, especially if he has a huge penis like he says he does. Please don't think you're going to put your giant penis inside my booty hole.
But bitch, you should have said that shit 4 years ago.
Okay, and I understand, but I mean, maybe she changed her mind, or maybe she's just
she should have said that,
or maybe she's just scared and doesn't know how to say to him,
you got a ring and seemingly a nigga who's nice and cares about you, so and you would just like to do what you want to do. What I'm saying is, at the very least, give that shit a shot. If you already agreed to it, the nigga done bought you all kinds of motherfucking contraptions to get you prepared. Like, follow on your side. Or if you really are just like, it's never gonna happen, then say, sweetheart, it's never gonna happen. Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Period. That's it. Don't be stringing that nigga along. You know he wants to get in your butt and you just not go say nothing.
Right. I'm saying, though, if that doesn't work out, then he has to make a decision, like, if anal sex is really that important to him or not. And that's
a
decision only
you
can make. Right. We can't tell you whether you can stay with your girl.
Because at least she's a woman and she has a whole other natural hole.
I'm saying, like, there's a whole vagina there, and I'm assuming you enjoy vagina. I know that it differs from the ass in certain ways, but still. Anyway, good luck to you.
You know, start with, you know, fingers one by one.
Oh,
you know,
look at you providing
beginner
tips.
Index.
Yes, some beginner's tips.
But I mean, she's got anal trainers, so clearly they're on some expert
well,
shit.
Well, let me Google anal trainers.
No, we don't even need to do that.
May not even
Let's
be what
just
we
move
think
on.
It is.
Marlon, let us know what happens. And, you know, God's
yeah,
grace.
So it is what we think it is. Anyway,
all right, I thought so.
Next question comes from Livia, and it says, oh, this is for Cure Fury. I recently subscribed to your YouTube channel, and I love the neon videos, especially anything involving Square Enix content.
Thanks.
Did I say that? Okay, I guess I did.
Yeah.
I wanted to know what your opinion was on the announcement of Kingdom Hearts 2.8, how you feel about KH3 being pushed back even further, and what your favorite parts are of the franchise, like worlds and characters, etc. Thanks so much and keep being awesome.
I didn't hear nothing about it getting pushed back no motherfucking further.
Uh-oh, did I just break that to you?
I don't know if that's... I'm going to have to do my Googles.
When was it supposed to come out?
They never said. That's the thing. So I can't imagine that it's been pushed back any further. They've really never... I don't even think there's like a release window. They just said that they're going to try and get it out as soon as possible.
Wow. This just
anyway.
Says a release date would be a miracle. So that's the first headline on
the
Google.
Last one came out in like 2004 or 5. Like, it's been like a smooth decade.
So that's what this 2.8 means? They keep updating Kingdom Hearts?
Well, like, they're telling little stories in between, and I guess they're probably also using some of these newer titles to test out mechanics and see how people react to it.
Okay.
I don't know.
So how do you feel about Kingdom Hearts 2.8?
I'm excited about it. I'm excited about anything Kingdom Hearts related. Obviously, I'm very anxious to get the next one in my hands, but I'm more so concerned. I want it to be an amazing game. Like, I don't want it to be rushed. You know, it's almost like maybe your favorite artist, or if there's like a sequel or something to a movie or a remake that's coming out. Like, I want them to take their time and get it right. I want to be able to play it and be like, that was magnificent. I don't want it to be rushed. Be patient, whatever. There's plenty of other shit to play out here. 2.8, obviously, I'm getting. I'm very excited about it. And also, thanks for watching Neon. And I'm going to try and get some new titles up there as soon as possible. I'm thinking maybe we'll do something for Halloween. I don't know, either
That's
on
fun.
Twitch or the YouTube channel. But yes.
Do you have a favorite world or character?
If I knew
one of them, I would give it. But
you
I
know
don't.
Who Donald and Goofy and Mickey Mouse are and Minnie?
They're on that game?
It's a game that literally, it like it mixes like Final Fantasy and Disney.
Let me Google Final Fantasy.
So it's kind of like a Final Fantasy-esque game, but in the game itself, I can't believe I'm explaining this to you. In the game itself, you travel to like different worlds and you're supposed to like basically save these people, but the worlds are based on Disney films.
Okay. All right.
It's fantastic. So it's very deep. It's kind of confusing, but it's like, it's a fun time.
Okay. So do you have a favorite world or no?
Sora's my favorite character. I think my favorite world... this is rough. It's like asking my favorite Beyonce song.
Oh, damn. Really? Jesus.
Fuck. I don't know. I'll think of it and I'll answer that before the show's over. I feel like I was put on the spot. There's so many of them.
All right. So do you want to do one more or should we move on? We've been in here for a while.
We can do one more if it's not too long, I guess.
Well,
although my read probably won't be too lengthy.
Okay. Well, you know, let's just try. This one says, my name is Snowflake.
Oh, right.
It's a fake name.
Sure.
And I'm a 23-year-old white girl living in New York City. I wanted to ask you guys what your thoughts are on neighborhood gentrification because I live in Washington Heights. And my white roommate and I are just about the only Caucasians on our block.
I'm sure.
We moved in 2 years ago because after leaving our midtown college dorms, it was all we could afford besides Brooklyn, but fuck the L train. I'm just letting you know, white girl, you're setting yourself up for people to drag you for that. But anyway. Largely, we love it here. We're really close to the trains. Our pace is big and clean, and we've gotten very into Dominican food. This includes two very smiley emojis, so.
Yay.
But we
it is delicious. It's good.
Yay. But we get a lot of hate and hostility from our neighbors. Besides the catcalling, we've gotten hateful notes on our door, been spat at and shouted after on the street, and refused service at the deli. I know a lot of white kids who graduated with me and live in other pockets of Harlem and Brooklyn have the same experience. I understand why people whose families have been in one neighborhood for a long time hate the idea of little white girls like me coming in and bringing pumpkin spice lattes and vegan bakeries and jacking everyone's rent up to the point of eviction. But... at the same time, I need to be near the one train in order to get to work every day.
Is that what it literally says?
And my block is one of the only places I can afford. This has been on my mind lately, and I totally trust and respect you guys and your opinions. I would love to hear your thoughts. Thank you. You are amazing. That's from Snowflake.
I really loved the Agrabah world in Kingdom Hearts. I was also really fond of the...
What words are these?
Agrabah from Aladdin.
Oh, okay.
And there was one based on Neverland. That's the one where you get to fly for the first time.
Okay. Well, I mean, that sounds fun, but like this is just like not the answer to...
Also, in the first one, there was a Wonderland. I kind of want them to bring Wonderland back because Alice in Wonderland is one of my favorite movies in the world. I think it is my favorite movie. And I just love that whole story. But that Wonderland world was a little janky.
Is it trippy? Is it like being on E and
I feel like it could have been done better. Okay. It could have been designed a little bit better. I'm an Alice fan, though, so maybe that's what it is.
That whole movie makes me think of drugs. But anyway.
Snowflake,
though. you had me and then you lost me.
I think, you know, I kind of feel bad for you. You know, you seem to get it, I guess. And, I mean, well, you get it in the sense that you understand what gentrification is.
Yes.
And that people, you know, are reacting based on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what to tell you. Petty bitch again. Mm-hmm. Advice. It's difficult for me sometimes. I don't, you know, I
well,
don't.
Well, she knows how we are. She's been listening to the show. She says she respects us and our opinions, so don't hold back. I think you should just tell her how you really feel about it.
You can't, like, given the history that, you know, we have as races, different races.
Yes.
And then not even just that, but like in this city especially, gentrification is on
huge.
Some other shit. It's insane. I've never seen anything like it. Mm-mm. Ever. And so, you know, it does aggravate people. And you have to understand that sometimes when people see you, they're reminded of that. And mm-hmm. It probably is a reaction to that. Now, I don't think that there's any like excuse for it. I'm not gonna say that people should just mistreat you or deny you a fucking deli sandwich, or they definitely shouldn't spit at you and things like that. But at the same time, there are probably places, like, I don't know if that's legit just the only place that you can live, but You know, because I don't know you or your bank account or whatever. And New York City is extremely expensive. I get it. But I don't really know. I've never been a 23-year-old white girl living in the hood. I don't know how to, like, react. The only thing I could think to tell you is to leave, to move away.
Right.
Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are you going to do, fight them? You're right, not going to fight them. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do anything. Like, you know, it's just, it's a result of hurt.
Right.
And, like, frustration and anger and people being moved around and kicked out and told that they can't live nowhere anymore because, you know, the white people have claimed that land and they demand pumpkin spice and sushi.
It's really interesting that you can list, like, everything bad about gentrification and still be like, but I deserve to be close to the one train. And
like, that's literally the problem.
I deserve, like, to have cheaper rent. So, oh, well, we pushing out families that have, not like saying you specifically pushed out somebody's family, because it was definitely the government in New York City that allowed for this type of shit to happen over the past 10, 15, 20 years. So
horrible.
I'm not saying like you specifically, Ashley, or whatever your real name is, like you are a representative of the problem. And shit, you probably took over an apartment where somebody's family was staying, and maybe that was everybody's friend and the kids played with other kids and like they missed them niggas, and you and your homegirl is there now with your fucking Ugg boots and they not with it. And so, and there's never an excuse for violence. Like, if you are being hit or assaulted, that is a whole other thing. But if people have an attitude with you, you might just have to deal with that in order to be close to your precious one train.
One thing about it, though, again, loving being black, when I lived in Washington Heights for that 3 weeks before I saw that whole entire mouse in New York.
Oh, my God. You called me.
I was like, and it was the lady.
And you called me.
The lady, like, when I went to my landlord and I explained to her that there was that mouse, it was her reaction to it that was like, girl, so we just be having mice. I was like, not here. Like, I'll be gone.
Right. She was like, okay, mice.
It's all right.
What are you so scared of? Like, oh, I thought maybe the giant mouse.
There's like a living rodent.
A scary thing.
Chilling here in the apartment. I thought that that would matter to people. Anyway, when I lived up there, nobody, mm-hmm. I feel like they treat black people completely differently in Washington Heights.
Well, because shit, they black too.
I mean, but you know.
Right. I mean, there's definitely a cultural difference, but they, I felt like still comfortable in Washington Heights. Like, I felt like an outsider, but that was more of like a language thing and a culture thing, not a race thing.
The only time they ever would make you feel like real outside and not kind of feel no way about it was like language. Like,
yeah.
If they didn't speak English, they were just like, I don't. And right. So
and
what are you gonna do about
don't
it?
Give a good goddamn.
You know what
they
I'm
thought
saying?
People thought I was Dominican all the time. Like, would just walk up to me speaking Spanish because
they look like anything.
Right?
You
they
know what I'm saying?
Like
it's not like there are Dominican people and other like Latin people.
Right.
Like, you have Afro-Latin people. It's a thing that exists, and I think lots of niggas are confused about it, but you, again, can Google it. But there, that was the only thing that I noticed. You know what I'm saying? For the most part, they were just like, you know, here we are. And I always respected the language thing as well, because when you think about it, that's probably another reason why they're so proud of where they live and being among other Dominican people, other Latin people, like they live here.
I mean,
that's been
their shit since way before white people were interested in it. And so now y'all coming through and raising rents to levels these people have never seen before. And like over an extremely short period of time.
3 full years yet. And like the few neighborhoods that I've been in, I got like,
right.
It's like,
it's unreal how much is changing. Like,
we want this too.
And so, just like, you're expecting people who have been kind of like thrown away uptown. Like, uptown was like, oh, don't want to fuck around with uptown, to it being this whole new desirable spot because it's cheap enough for white kids fresh out of college to afford. Girl, of course, they're not trying to be like that your best friend or super accommodating or whatever. Like,
I don't know what to tell you.
I wouldn't accept any violence, but girl, if they have an attitude, they just gonna have an attitude. You in they neighborhoods. So.
Right. If they have an attitude or look at you crazy or whatever, like, I don't really know what to say about that. If people are like physically like threatening you or you don't feel safe, then that's something that you should, you know, talk to, I guess, your authority. That's what y'all do.
Yeah.
Talk
all
to
right. Good luck, Snowflake. Somehow, I'm sure it'll all work out for you. Send your questions to ask3@gmail.com, and we'll be right back.
Hey y'all, this episode is also being brought to you by Squarespace, a website that makes it incredibly easy to build your own website portfolio or your own online store. We use it for our website, thisis3.com. It has very intuitive and easy to use tools. You can make a site that looks professionally designed regardless of your skill level. You don't have to use any coding. Coding is like the worst thing in my life. It feels like advanced algebra or something, and I just don't see the point. You don't need to either. It starts at $8 a month, and you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. It's trusted by millions of people and some of the most respected brands in the world. And it even has state-of-the-art technology powering your site to ensure security and stability.
Yeah, they do. Squarespace also provides simple, powerful, and beautiful websites that look professionally designed regardless of skill level. And you can get started today by going to squarespace.com and signing up for a free trial. Use offer code READ to get 10% off your first purchase. That's offer code READ at squarespace.com. You cannot beat the ease and simplicity of Squarespace. They give you 24/7 online support and a beautiful website. So what are you waiting for? Again, start your free trial today with no credit card required at squarespace.com and use offer code READ to get 10% off your first purchase. We thank Squarespace so much. Squarespace, build it beautiful. And now let's finish the show.
All right, so we're back and it's time for the read.
It sure is. Do you want to go first? I kind of don't really know what my read is. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead then.
Okay. I mean, if you want me to, I can pick something. I could just cuss MTA out real quick. In fact, let me do that.
Okay.
Unless you wanted to go.
No, it's fine.
No, because I just fucking thought about it. Do you see what this is? This MetroCard that I have in this receipt here in my bag. Do you know what this is? I went to go refill my MetroCard today because my 1 month expired. And I sat here and put in my debit card, put in my PIN. Everything's supposed to work. And it comes back within transaction, add time failed. Your payment has been accepted, but your card has not been reloaded. Please call 1-800. This is some bullshit. So, of course, I said, I don't know what the fuck this is. I picked up my receipt.
Wait, hold on. So you mean to tell me that you paid to get the MetroCard refilled?
I put the in the machine.
And they gave you a piece of paperback that says, we have your money,
no,
but you don't have.
No, the screen said, we have your money, but you don't have a MetroCard. Call somebody and cry about it, bitch. We don't give a fuck. Take your receipt because it's none of our damn business. And it says on the receipt, transaction approved, add time failed. Like, payment mode, debit,
what?
Last.
I didn't even know that could happen.
How the fuck? So anyway, so I go, I'm thinking, okay, this is why they invented, like, people to be in the booth, you know? So I go up to the bitch in the booth, like, I don't know what's wrong with your machine, but I put in my card and my $116.50, and it came back talking some bullshit about, I don't have no MetroCard. And she was like, oh, well, I can't do anything about that. You just have to take the card and the receipt and put them in this envelope and mail it to Brooklyn, and they'll mail you a check back or some shit. I said, excuse me? So you can't just take this card and put a 30-day monthly on it and give it back to me? Like, it has to be this bullshit? You can't just take me another. If I have to give you the four quarters since y'all started charging this bullshit $1 new card fee, then that's fucking fine, bitch. Let me know. But you can't just give me a 30-day MetroCard today.
I have some place to go.
Not only do I have some place to go, and the next train is coming in 2 minutes, and then the train after that is coming in 12, so bitch, I better not miss this goddamn train. Not only do I have somewhere to go, but I just paid $116.50, and I want, and it's, what do you mean? I don't understand. There's a receipt right here showing you that I gave you my motherfucking money, so why can't you do this? Well, it's just MTA policy, ma'am. You have to take this and
fuck policy. That's what
fuck,
I was
saying. Listen, I feel like I always have to cuss MTA out.
Because they can eat a dick on Tuesday.
And the problem, I understand New York City is servicing millions of people and it's the busiest public transportation system in the country. And most of the time it's very efficient. I get that. But you niggas charge way too much motherfucking money to be having all these goddamn problems. Every 6 months, there's a fare increase and nothing gets any better. Where are these upgrades and changes being made? Because bitch, it's not on the 2-3. It's never on. It's not. That 2-3 swinging all the way up through Bronx, all the way through the middle of Manhattan and through Brooklyn. They're not changing a goddamn thing on that. It still smells like old ass sardines and toes. It's Somebody is always musty. Oh my God. The speaker, you never know if the fucking conductor has something important to say because the speaker crackles and goes out all the fucking time. The lights will randomly go out. The train will just stop. Just stop in the middle of stations and you just can see giant rats crawling along the wall waiting to come inside the train and eat your fucking face because the train's not moving no more. Like, MTA, y'all be putting me through way too much bullshit to turn around and have your machine tell me, well, ma'am, you have the money. However, we're just not going to put the time on your card. MTA always trying to charge niggas more money for the same bullshit. Ain't nothing getting no better. Ain't nothing improving. And then you have the nerve to have this machine tell me that not only did we take your whole ass $116, but we're just not going to put time on the card. How is that even an error that a machine can have? Like, the whole point of this motherfucker is to put the card in and come back out with another one. How can you take my money and not put the time on the card? And how is it that the bitch who's 6 feet away watching this whole thing happen can't just give me a replacement card so I can go on about my fucking day? I had to get a whole nother Metro card because it wouldn't even let me refill this one or put money on it. I tried to put it back in the machine and it was like, this card is bullshit. You need to call MTA. Okay. So now I can't even use this card. I got to buy a whole fucking other one. I got to put $10 on it because I need to get on this train now. I ain't got time for y'all's bullshit. And now I have to spend another $116.50 so that I can have the monthly Metro card that I need and wait for MTA to run me my fucking money back. Girl, I'm so fucking exhausted. Like, really, just fuck y'all. The whole MTA experience is annoying as hell. We at that time of year where you niggas don't know whether to cut on the air or the heat. The train is just uncomfortable than a motherfucker. Oh my god, it's just like icy cold when it's 55 degrees and then they got the heat on when it's 68. Like, I wish you niggas could just get it the fuck together. But,
and I don't want to hear no complaints. They in Japan riding sound waves and shit, like, just around the whole fucking place. Like,
Paris, the train is free when the pollution is bad.
Just because.
Did you know Europeans treat their people humanely? Like, did you know? They don't have to. Europeans come over here and they're like, okay, why do y'all live like this? Like, mm-mm. Like, it was clearly the trash Europeans who left and came over here. It had to have been because
they wanted more.
Garbage.
They were like, I'm bored.
They were greedy, yes.
More! And just for me.
And they were greedy for white people. Like, white people already greedy. They were like extra. Like, we needed even more than what we've already taken. It just, in summation.
Because I know that Europe has its issues with racism
as well. Of course. It's just not as bad as here.
It's like, what? Well.
But anyway, fuck MTA. Just fuck y'all. Because what if I don't have another $116.50?
This is New York.
What if that happened to me and I was just trying to put $5 on a Metro card because I had to get to an interview and I didn't have no other $5? And y'all talking about, oh, well, we just took your $5, but you ain't got no card. And the bitch at the window can't help. So I just cannot get on the train. So you just took my money and I just can't get on the train. Like, I just cannot. I have to wait for you niggas to mail me a check. Are you fucking kidding? This is not, no. If a person pays cash, you niggas ought to be able to do a refund they fucking money in cash if something goes wrong with your machines. If somebody paid with a fucking card and you can see the receipt is all the pertinent information. I don't even know what the fuck this means and I can tell you what's on this fucking receipt. It's all right here. So set it up to where your bitches can just handle it right there in person, because asking people to mail some shit in is beyond inconvenient and it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's a whole lot of people don't have $117 to spend twice in one day to get on these raggedy ass trains. So get y'all shit together. Shit!
All right.
I mean, God, this just happened to me. Just. I haven't even mailed it back. I'm pissed. And I'm writing a letter. Yes, I am.
All righty.
So that's my read this week.
So for me, I don't even know if this is going to be like a... Keep in mind that a read doesn't necessarily have to be loud or angry or super aggressive. It's literally just explicit, like, fact stating.
That's true.
This could get loud, but I'm more bored than actually upset. Mm-hmm. So a couple of white nerdy trolls on the internet started a hashtag called Boycott Star Wars. What is this? 7? I guess.
I've never seen a Star Wars, so.
Gonna get there. Actually, let me just start by saying them. They want to boycott it. They say it promotes white genocide. I'll tell you why.
What?
The film, the new one, stars, I want to say his name's John Boyega, who is black, and he's playing the lead.
Okay.
I think he's like a Jedi or something. And he's also like, it's kind of like a duo between him and a woman named Daisy Ridley, who's playing a character named Rey. The trailer just came out this week. It looks absolutely phenomenal. I got my ticket. I'm like ready and raring to go. I was never, though, a big Star Wars fan. I had seen like The Phantom Menace, whichever one came out in like 99 or something.
With Jar Jar Binks.
Right. Mm-hmm. That was the one. I wasn't impressed. And, you know, I came to find out that that was the one that most Star Wars fanatics were like, it was trash.
Yeah. I saw like clips of it. I never saw the whole thing.
And I had seen maybe bits and pieces of the original movie, but I had never seen anything past that. Mm-mm. So maybe last year, whenever they announced that Lupita was going to be in the new one,
I
said, well, let me take a trip down to the Best Buy. And I literally purchased these two collect. I bought every movie.
Of course you did.
And I watched all of them in machete order or whatever the geeks call it, like the perfect order to understand or whatever. So I'm prepared for this next film. And I actually did enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
So you saw the first one from like the 70s?
I think it was the 80s, but yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I saw the first original three. I watched the remakes or the prequel chapters or whatever you call
them. I was going to say, these are all prequels, right? These are all leading. The prequels all came out after the original?
Yeah, the prequels came out after the original three. So it was like an original trilogy and then it was like a prequel trilogy.
Okay.
And so this next one is what happens after the original trilogy. So it's like a brand new thing.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Right. So
so black people are in charge of killing all the white folks?
I don't think that's what it's happening. The white genocide thing is dramatic.
Oh.
I'll get to that.
I was about to get on.
So a poster for the movie, I think, came out. I mean, the stormtroopers, like the villainous soldiers, are all dressed in white. But I don't think, but like, anyway. The newest poster, I guess, came out, either early this week or last week, and some dumbass niggas on the internet, some white boys, started this whole thing, and I guess they're saying that because this stormtrooper is black, it promotes something in the other, and it's racist, and you just off, like, I can't even remember the ridiculous, like, kids shouldn't think that a stormtrooper would ever be black or a Jedi. I don't know. It was just the dumbest, most fickle, just boring shit. Just complaining to complain. So I want to first point out that I'm, again, a new Star Wars fan. This had to have happened within the last 365 days. So, you know, it's good. I don't think that I go at that hard for it, but I do quite enjoy it. And, you know, I'm excited for the next one. But even me, without very much knowledge of the franchise, could have told you Billy Dee Williams was in the original three. Sam Jackson was in the last three, the prequel trilogy. Fucking James Earl Jones was the voice of Darth Vader.
I didn't know that.
Negroes have been all up and through this movie in all parts, good, bad, in between, whatever. So not only that, but for you to be complaining about this black man playing this role now means that you aren't even much of a Star Wars fan, because we've known about this. The nigga has action figures. He has like toys at Dwayne Reed and shit. Like, he's out here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's good. This is not any new information. It's not anything brand new. So if you were that big of a Star Wars fan and it mattered to you, that you would have complained when you first found out that the nigga was going to be in it.
Right.
You're doing this because you living in your mama's basement eating Chef Boyardee out of the can. She's upstairs getting fucked by the sheriff. You don't know who your daddy is. And you just have internet access that you're probably stealing from somebody across the street, and you feel like to make yourself feel better about your shit life, you have to hop on the internet and just antagonize people because, you know, they can't find you, or it's the internet and you can do all that rough and tough talk on the internet or whatever. What are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And you probably are catching life now because so many people reacted and took that shit seriously that it gained life. Here I am now talking about it and that kind of thing. And really, the only reason I'm mentioning it, not even because it's racist, because I've said all of the reasons why complaining about that shit don't even make no damn sense. You're doing this for attention. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that you are bored. You are boring. You're probably like perpetually lonely. You have like no like hopes. no prospects, no job, more than likely. You're probably just living a shit life in some flyover state, and you just have nothing better to do than to troll people. Like, I get it. You know what I'm saying?
That's but actually probably true.
Find a new angle. You guys do this every time a new movie comes out that's based on a superhero or it's based on some, you know, spaceship shit, and you see like a black face in a leading role, and their first thing that you can think to do is get mad about it. I always bring up Rue from the fucking Hunger Games when you dumbass bitches Woo. Were complaining about her being black when the bitch was black in the book. Like, it was like I was surprised she was as light as she was. Like, and you were complaining that she was black. It's boring. Find something else. If you're going to be a troll, stop using troll tactics from the fucking 80s and 90s. Like, y'all from the 60s probably. Like, y'all just be mad that black people have jobs. And you probably aren't even upset about it. Like, you just, like I've said already, like, I feel like there are a lot of white people at this point who say racist things, not even because they genuinely hate black people, but because they genuinely need attention. Mm-hmm. And they know that if they say some shit like that, enough Negroes, enough blogs or whatever will like pick up on it, and they'll feel like a celebrity for a day. That's why, actually, I'm not even going to say his name again, but I just want you to know that I'm on to you. It's boring. It's lame. Bitch, if you were a fan or even a fraction of a fan, you're going to go see it anyway. You're going to go watch it anyway. Yeah. And even if you don't, there are plenty of fans, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, who are going out there dressed as all the Chewbaccas and Han Solos and Princess Leias, and they're going to be there on time and they'll have a good time. You know, God willing. Like, your opinion and your perspective is pathetic. Just, like, find something better to do. Go to Job Corps or like, I don't know, like, pick up a hobby or, like, I don't know. Like,
Well, you know, white people think everything is theirs, so.
But what I'm saying is I don't even feel like that's what this is about. Like, this is, like, legit trolling. And we especially.
Like, they just don't care at all. Like, they just
want to. They just want to piss people off and get a rise out of us. You couldn't possibly care about that character being black, bitch, because why would you complain about it now? We been knew he was black. Even people who don't watch Star Wars knew that the nigga was a lead. Like, it's not new information. And even if it was white genocide, girl, how? Like, how? Most of the characters in this bitch are still white. What are you talking about? Like, you're just trying to piss people off. Black people, you know, people of color in general, we have to start. Even white people that, like, read books and understand it and, you know, consider themselves allies. We have to stop letting individuals like this get this type of attention. We have bigger things to worry about. It was not going to stop Star Wars ducats or franchise anyway. There were so many Star Wars, white Star Wars fans that were like, have a good time with your boycott, sis. I'm showing up on December 18th.
I'm sure, like, the real fans are like, so listen, I'm seeing every movie. It doesn't.
Gonna go.
It's like a Beyonce tour. I'm going. I don't give a fuck what you niggas said. I don't care about the reviews. If Beyonce's coming to my town, I'm there. It's
those white fans, they had their lightsabers in hand taking pictures like, you bigots have a great time. Like, they don't give a shit. Like, find something else to do. The black community, you know, the Asian, Latin community, the Indian community, women, gays, we don't have time to be like nurturing you and the fact that you don't have nobody to love you. Like, that's not our business. Find something better to do. And we have to stop giving these bitches life. Ooh. Like, we fall for it over and over and over and over again. Like, sometimes we have to learn to look at this shit for what it is and just laugh at these hoes and move on. That's why I love when Black Twitter will sometimes take these things and turn them into comedic hashtags and just laugh at you bitches. Like, even sometimes that doesn't deserve any motherfucking attention. Like, that's why I've been saying, just snatch The View. Like, girl, we don't need Raven. Like, it's all right. She's gonna be Raven forever. She'll have her little money or what have you. Like, this doesn't even matter. This is right. Pathetic. It's fickle. It's pointless. Like, we have bigger shit, bigger fish to fry. And nobody. They are already sold out. I have to go to Times Square to see it.
Oh, the devil is every ounce of
that's where I could get a good seat.
Wait, so you,
Because I had to see it in IMAX. Big movies, like epic films like this, I feel like if I don't go see it in an IMAX theater, there's one available, it's almost like, for what? But the IMAX for that weekend that it's coming out, I wanted to go to Lincoln Square, but my seat would have been shit.
I mean, listen, okay, I'm not a sci-fi adventure, any type of movie type person.
Just think of a movie that you're just excited, like... Let's say it's a Beyonce.
Beyonce did that animated movie and I spent $20 to go see it in 3D.
I would have never seen that on IMAX.
Oh, well,
you know, I'm talking like big action films generally. If I'm going to buy a ticket.
Men in Black.
I don't know. I would have seen that in IMAX either.
Let me think of another one. Armageddon.
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
Finally.
But yeah, you know, I feel like
Fuck
it's
the
not
trolls.
Really. They've already. Breaking records with ticket sales. The movie don't come out for another like month and a half. They're good, girl. Get a life. The end. I'm done.
Woo. All right. So that wraps up the read for this week. Make sure you follow us at This Is The Read on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And check out our website, thisistheread.com, for links to every episode and bios and upcoming show dates, etc., etc. Speaking of shows... We just left St. Louis, thanks to those of you who came
out. I'm glad you brought that up. So, let me just say this. Thank you so much to everybody who supports the show, who buys tickets and comes out. We get so excited, you know, to see you and, you know, participation. And it's generally a very fun time and everybody kicks it together. I had a good time in St. Louis, generally, you know, for the most part. I just want to say to a select few individuals and anybody who may come to a show involving Kid Fury in the future... I want you to know, henceforth, you come to a show where I'm on stage, while I'm on stage acting the ass, I'm going to embarrass you. Mm-hmm. Now, there's no shade to St. Louis. Most people came out, they had a great time, and, you know, everyone was having fun. Nobody, you know, I feel like nobody necessarily disrespect. Well, I was going to say nobody really disrespected me, but at the same time...
A little bit, because the girl who was popping that gum, I thought she wanted you to fight her.
Like, and did you...
Because I was like, oh, he's about to get up. Like, if we hadn't have been working...
And the only reason I don't say anything to situations like that is because, like, the bigger picture is that people who came out to have a good time and are trying to have a good time, they shouldn't have their experience ruined
right.
because one or two people decided they want to act a goddamn fool. Mm-hmm. But from here on out, I just want for you people to know that if you come to a Reed show, any show with my ass on stage and you acting a fool, I'm gonna embarrass you. You may get kicked the fuck out. And that's it, period. But otherwise, thank you so much
yes.
to St. Louis.
Thank you, St. Louis.
Shout out to the ladies who brought us 236 count packs of Grippo's potato chips.
Y'all brought us so many. We had so many chips, candy. Oh my God, so much stuff. So thanks again, everybody, for coming out.
Those chips are seasoned.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
Down. And like, they are delicious.
Better made chips somebody brought from Michigan.
Oh, bitch, them honey barbecues, something? Though. Oh, listen. And them gourmet gummy bears. Listen.
Oh, my gosh.
Shout out to the girl
gosh.
With them gummy. They like gourmet gummy bears. I gotta find that box.
That place is called Squish. I don't
Squish.
Know where it is.
It's in Canada.
But they're like gluten-free, dairy-free, no MSG or whatever. Some kind of, I'm like, oh, these are probably going to be so gross.
No.
They were
delicious. Like little, oh my God, little fruit pieces. I fucked them all up.
Oh
so.
God, thanks.
Yes, thanks so much to all of you. Also, you guys, don't forget to check out our awesome sponsor, NatureBox. NatureBox has over 100 ridiculously delicious snacks to choose from that get delivered directly to your doorstop, full of flavor but without the junk. They release new snacks every month so you'll never get bored. So go online to get your first box now at naturebox.com/thread. That's naturebox.com/thread for your first box of Beyond Tasty hand-picked snacks. Anything else?
My costumes for Trilloween have arrived.
Oh,
I've got
Lord.
All of the pieces that I need. I think I may need to do a little bit of painting on something real quick or something, but I am so excited.
I have no idea.
Costumes. I already say it on the show that I'm like trying to go like a cosplay-ish route because I missed Comic-Con.
Okay.
And I don't think you're going to know who... It's going to be a fun time, even if I'm the only bitch having fun, because...
So you're being like a video game character?
I'm not going to say who I'm being, but I have two costumes. We have the, you know, on October 30th, the Trilloween party here in New York City. And then on 31st, we'll be doing it in D.C. You can go to Trilloween, that's TRILLOWEEN.com, to get a ticket if you would like. You don't have to wear a costume. You can wear, you know, your plain clothes, but you'll always also be the girl who didn't want to wear a costume. So, you know, but it's up to you. Right. You know, it's not required.
And speaking of upcoming events, November 15th in Charlotte, we will be there to do the Read Live. Tickets available at thereadlive.com.
Cookout.
And of course, we're coming to DC. Those tickets are sold out. We cannot wait to see you guys in December.
DC sold out.
DC just—I mean, always like within 24 hours. DC is like, bitch, we're not missing.
What did you say? You're coming here? Okay, thanks. That's all I needed to hear.
People be tweeting us like, so listen, me and my homegirls are logged on. We're ready. We're refreshing. We're just waiting for the fucking tickets. Where are they, girl?
If because you tell them that the tickets are up at 10 a.m., the girls will be like, it's 9:59, and so what's going on?
So thank you, DC, for the love and support. We appreciate y'all so much, and we will see both you and Charlotte coming up very soon. All right, anything else? Are we done here? You got an acronym or not?
My acronym this week is going to be TRYAT.
The
tear.
Tumultuous craze.
Try your anal trainer. Just give it a shot. Just try it out.
Oh, God. Okay. We will see y'all next week.
Bye.